Today I'm proclaiming God's word from the Gospel, Mark chapter 4, verses 26 to 34. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, let your word be fruitful among us, so your name may be glorified in our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, so today I'm proclaiming God's word from the Gospel, but I want to start with a quote from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This is St. Paul speaking. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Now, St. Paul was someone, from a human point of view, who could have made a great boast about his effectiveness in promoting the gospel. He could have also pointed to his own sincerity and authenticity in his service as an apostle. He had suffered much in his calling. But St. Paul knew that his calling was from God, and that as he lived faithfully according to his calling, it was only God who could make his service fruitful. It was only God who could give growth. Now today, I'm proclaiming good news from God's word, good news from the gospel, and that is we are free from the burden of thinking that we have to convert people, or that we can by our own insight or persuasiveness or winsomeness bring people to a life of faith in God or grow them in the life of love. Only God's Spirit-filled word can do this. So we are free to drop the burden of thinking that we have to be God. Instead, we can faithfully live according to the callings that God has given us, trusting that when we live faithfully as disciples of Jesus, God's word will do its work in our lives and the lives of those around us, and also in our world in ways that we can't even imagine. Now, this is how today's reading begins. Jesus also said, let's stop right there. Evidently, we are in the middle of a story here. Jesus has been teaching the crowds in parables. In fact, earlier, he has given the parable of the sower. You remember the parable of the sower? He scatters the seeds far and wide. Some is snatched up by birds. Some falls on rocky ground. Some is choked off as it grows by the thorns. But some grows into a bountiful harvest. Now, privately, to his disciples alone, Jesus revealed the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. He explained the parables to them. In this case, especially explaining that the sower sows the word. It's the word that's being sown here. Now, just another side note. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke in particular, make it clear that Jesus taught the crowds only in parables, and that what he said to the crowds remained obscure to them. This, in fact, is what we read earlier in the chapter. Listen. Jesus said privately to his disciples, to you has been given the secret or the mystery of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything comes in parables, in order that they may indeed look but not perceive. They may indeed listen but not understand, so that they may not turn again and be forgiven. And at the end of today's reading, we hear these words. With many such parables, he spoke the word to the crowd as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. Now, this can seem counterintuitive to us. Surely Jesus, we would think, would want to get his message out as much as possible and as clearly as possible. So why, we could ask, does he employ a strategy of communication that leads to the crowd's failure to comprehend and failure to turn to God in trust. Well, here's one way to think about it. To receive Jesus' teaching with understanding, we first need to be called as Jesus' disciples. We need to be in a relationship with him, not just to know what he says, but who he is. Now, we here today at Bethlehem are receiving the parables as disciples of Jesus, as people who have been called by him through holy baptism, who receive his teaching, especially as we meet together Sunday by Sunday, who receive his word trusting that he's not simply a prophet or a sage or a worker of wonders, but our Lord and Saviour, who atoned for our sins and who reconciles us to the Father. More than this, who gathers us together as his brothers and sisters as we hear his word together. So let's together hear his word. Jesus also said, "The kingdom of God is as if." Now I'm afraid we're going to pause there again. The kingdom of heaven is as if. Jesus is giving us as disciples parables so that we have an understanding of what God's kingdom is like. So we know what it's like when God is in charge, of what it's like where God's will is done, where we can see God, the true ruler, at work. So this is not about earthly power, which works according to its own set of rules. The parables that we are hearing today are about God's reign, God's rule in our world. Jesus also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day. And the seed would sprout and grow, he does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come." Now notice here that the sower does something. He does his job of scattering the seed. He acts according to his vocation, we could say, trusting that a harvest will come. This puts us in mind, of course, of the parable of the sower that's just come before. But what does the sower in this parable do after sowing the seed? Did you hear that detail? The sower sleeps. The sower sleeps and rises night and day. It's significant, I think, that the first thing that's mentioned is that the sower sleeps. God does his work while humans are passive, while humans cannot do anything. Indeed, according to vocation, the sower sows the word, but then the sower sleeps. I think there's also a rhythm here that suggests everyday human activity, sleeping and rising night and day, going about life as we have been called by God to live, while God goes about his work of growing the seed. Notice also that Jesus specifies the process of growth in the parable. First the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. This growth happens, in other words, in God's time. It cannot be rushed by human action. All that can be done from a human point of view is to wait patiently and to be ready when the harvest comes. This is how it is in God's kingdom, with God in charge. But as Jesus says, when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come. The calling is then to harvest what God has grown. Jesus then gives another parable about God's reign, about God's rule. Jesus also said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It's like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air make nests in its shade. Now it helps in hearing these words to be alert to the Old Testament background. Do you remember where the first reading today was from, the Old Testament reading? It was from the book of Ezekiel. And here in this parable, Jesus is both alluding to and quoting from Ezekiel. Okay, in Ezekiel we hear in symbolic language about the kingdom that God will grow, the Davidic kingdom that will bring all nations under its shade. In Ezekiel, as in much of the ancient world, trees were symbols of power, of imperial rule, especially the mighty cedar tree. In Ezekiel, it's clear that the birds of the air are the tribes, languages, and nations of people. So I'd say, if you want to understand this parable, don't think first of all about the literal size of a mustard seed, but think about the allusion that Jesus is making here. Keep in mind there's an Old Testament background. The better we know the Old Testament, the clearer the new becomes to us. This is a good example of that. Now it seems here that Jesus is saying primarily a parable about himself when he talks about God's kingdom. A mustard seed is insignificant compared to a cedar. And he, this insignificant mustard seed, will fall into the ground in death, but in his resurrection will grow to bring a place, a fulfillment of the Davidic kingdom, where the nations of the earth can come in to the rest that God gives. Again, it's God's work here. It's God who has the power, and we come into his work, and we enjoy the rest that he gives. Now, in closing, let's hear again from St. Paul. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. It is God who gives the growth, and while he gives the growth, we have our callings. Now think about where God has placed you in life and what God is calling you to do. Because when you work faithfully, knowing that God sees your service, you have a reward from your Heavenly Father who sees in secret, as Jesus said. And in God's kingdom, changing a nappy, or teaching students, or mowing a lawn, or wiring a house, or caring for an aged relative, or even writing to a politician, all these can be filled with spiritual significance. They can be the sleeping and rising night and day of Christian life. We can also know that as God gives us the opportunity to speak his word, that his word will do its work. So therefore, it's good for us to be prepared to share the word as God gives us an opportunity. This, in fact, is how St. Peter puts it. Always be prepared to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an account of the hope that's in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. It's good to be prepared, to have something to say when people ask why you live hopefully, to have a word about Jesus and what he has done. It's a simple, practical thing to do as you live out your vocation, the calling that God has given you. Wait for the opportunities God will give you to hand on this word. But when you hand on this word, know that it's not up to you to convert anyone. It's God's Spirit-filled word that can do this. You can simply hand on the word which God has freely given you, knowing that God's word will do its work. Well, may God give us wisdom to live this way, to drop the burden of thinking that we can do what only God can do, to think that we can convert people when it's only God's Spirit-filled word that does this. May God give us strength to live faithfully in the callings that he has given us, to speak hopefully as he gives us the opportunity, and to live in maturing love for each other as disciples of the Lord Jesus, who have had the mysteries of God revealed to us. May God give us this wisdom for Jesus' sake. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.